Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the works package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit fordservice.com for important details and limitations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Monday. Welcome in. It is Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Friday, we talked about the Westwood Country Club property. Dan Gagliardo called in. His opponent, Sean Lavin, who is the deputy supervisor now, is in studio with us today. Sean, welcome to the show.
Joe, thank you for having me.
Lots to get into, but let's start with that Westwood Country Club property. My whole point why I brought it up is the county, you know, approved another almost $4 million for that project.
Yeah.
Now, you look at that project on Sheridan, and I remember when it was open, because I delivered for Lenova, and I remember taking orders there when I was a delivery driver. But it's been closed for about a decade. There have been a lot of proposals to do things with it from Amherst. So before we get to what it is now, those projects that Amherst proposed, why did we never get there with Amherst?
So it's actually longer than a decade. It's closer to 15 years, right?
And, I am old.
Yep, it's about 15 years. I think it was 2009 it went for sale, just to be exact. And then for most of the term, for at least I got into office in 2018, the Westwood Country Club was not owned by Amherst. It was owned by a group of partners who were hoping to develop that property. So Amherst took it over about 3 years ago. We bought the parcel. You know, once we had ownership of it, we could make hard decisions on, we have committed to the residents, this is going to be green space. So yes, it's been a long time, but for the most part, it was the owners and partners who owned that property for as long as they did.
So Amherst has it now. This is just a curiosity question. Why are all the cars parked there?
That's Northtown Auto. They lease, they rent space from us to park those cars.
Okay. So Amherst had a few plans. They all went under or didn't get approval?
So we had anticipated having a kind of more active park there. Okay. We wanted a musical fair. We wanted to move B&HV. And the residents had a permissive referendum and said, that's not what we're interested in doing. We want green space. We want it to kind of replicate what it currently is. So we kind of looked at the drawing board and said, okay, we're going to move off those musical fair plans and B&HV, and we're going to move into kind of a passive green space park.
So Erie County takes it over.
Erie County would maintain and upkeep and all the construction that would come with rebuilding that park so it can be usable.
So Amherst doesn't see a dime from this project now that the county has it?
So we're not a revenue generating
entity. Right, yeah.
But you're right. So we bought the property. The county is going to take over the construction, the upkeep, the manpower. And then ideally in about 18 to 24 months, the fences come down. We have walkable trails. We have 9 holes of golf.
Would this have been possible without the county?
No, I think the county's resources with their parks department, they have all the planning, they have all the manpower required, because they do this already, right? So Amherst doesn't have to hire rangers or hire the golf people. The golf, I'm sure, is a word for the technicians who operate the course. We don't have that, right? And we're not interested in investing in that. And the county already does. So to them, it's an easy solution.
I have a friend who does that for the PGA. And yeah. You're right. I have no idea what the proper term is.
I have no idea.
He's the guy that gets the greens ready.
That's fine. I'll take that term.
Now, your opponent was on Friday. He called in. We were talking about this. And he said that he had a group of developers that were going to look at the property and that he was pretty much locked out. What is your response to that?
Well, we have fences up there. We have liability issues. We don't just let anybody go on the park, right? I don't go on the park.
But was there ever looking into keeping it a golf course or making it a golf course and doing what the county's doing, but with Amherst, where Amherst would be responsible, but Amherst might also be able to charge for passes or something like that?
I mean, you could always explore those options, right? In a perfect world, you could say we have the resources, we have the golf people, again, the rangers, yeah, the starters. We don't, right? So that's, I would like to say, yeah, in a perfect world, we can just wave a wand and that's 18 holes of golf for everybody. That's not the case. The county has those resources. The county ledge voted 10 to 1 in favor of providing those resources to Amherst. So I, you know, it's such an opportunity for us to finally give that parcel some life. It's been 15 years now when people have not been able to use it in any way, shape, or form.
Now, this is a question. I know this has no standing because it already is the county's, but if the county hadn't taken it over, do you think Amherst would have eventually been able to do something with that?
I just think the timeline, eventually the answer could be yes, right? In enough timeline, you can accrue enough resources to do that. I'm not of any interest in waiting another decade.
Right.
It's been 15 years. We have to find a solution for residents. That's my responsibility as a public official. I do everything I can to do that for them, but I just don't want to keep waiting. It's not worth it. Another decade, my kids will be out of the house.
Right.
No way.
Yeah. Now, driving on down, Sheridan, a lot has been made about the Boulevard project. Doug Jamal, who was ready to take it over, says he's been frustrated with Amherst. From your point of view, does Doug Jamal have a point? How do you see this all shaping up?
I mean, from the Boulevard Mall perspective, we're still on a timeline to start demolition in the near future. By we, I mean the owners of the property. So Mr. Jamal has a lot of properties that are currently in flux, one being the Richardson Building you might have read about in the paper. So I don't know the internal pieces that work on his business side of the house. I'm not aware of anything like that, but I can tell you the town's fully committed to redeveloping the Boulevard Mall with our partners who own that parcel.
And that is still the town center, the original plan?
A kind of a dense town center, right? You also have to understand from the Boulevard Mall perspective, and I've been going to a lot of door-to-door lately, and a woman said, "Why? What's taking so long with the mall?" Well, in the highlight of the mall, let's say the 80s, you had a couple hundred people in there, and you had some people using the bathroom, but you didn't have showers. You didn't have any of that. We had a $31 million Westside Interceptor sewer reconstruction project that's going to allow for people to live there, use showers, bathrooms, because you cannot add people living there without the sewer capacity to do it, right? That's just not how infrastructure works.
So is that something that's going on now, or is that the first step?
Happening in real time as we speak.
Okay. Now, I drive through the Boulevard Mall property. There's a Spirit Halloween about to open.
Of course.
In a Bye Bye Baby that that was part of where I used to work, which that's a long story. We'll get to that later. And you see some of these outside stores. You see Macy's. We know the back and forth with Penny's in the town. What's the future of those Men's Warehouse is another one. What's the future of those outer stores that people are still going to?
I mean, I would say to the owners of that property on the Boulevard Mall, I think they're going to be very helpful in finding a home for the commercial properties that still want to stay local and do business in Amherst. Again, I don't do any of the leasing. I don't do any of the renting. Right. It's the town's job to provide infrastructure so companies can build and expand. So it's hard for me to get into the nuances there. But I would argue that they'd probably be partners in those companies looking to move to a different location.
Would you say, as Amherst is today, that it's a business-friendly town?
I would.
The most business-friendly town. New York State, a lot of people would say, not as business-friendly. Some people would say that about Buffalo. Would you say Amherst today, out of where we live, one of the most business-friendly?
Yes.
Now driving down.
Sure.
Station 12.
Sure.
I probably bring up Station 12 once a week.
At least.
And my problem is, I grew up in Amherst, right? I'm an Amherst guy. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I saw LMFAO at the old Bon-Ton there, okay, when it was the Northtown Plaza. And again, the North Elm Plaza was, let's be honest, stores were leaving. Mm-hmm. But now this was built up. I realized COVID happened. I realized there are outside developers. But to your knowledge and in the control of Amherst, what is going on at Station 12?
So we've gotten permits just most recently. That was in Buffalo Business First about companies trying to fill those vacant properties. But you have to understand, Station 12 started long before I ever came into office.
Okay.
So I want to say it was 2015. I didn't take office until 2018. But nonetheless, you know, if a company owns the parcel, pays their taxes, have not violated any true building codes, right? Yes, I want them to occupy storefronts and have a bustling, you know, kind of commercial property. I can't force them to have tenants. Right. I would love to. But we've also expanded a lot of that area on the boulevard. You're seeing a lot of companies coming into Amherst that you're not finding anywhere else.
I just, you know, you look across the street and both are Amherst, but you know, when Station 12, as you said, was announced, mm-hmm. there was a TJ Maxx, a Home Goods, and a Toys R Us across the street. Since then, those stores have left.
Yeah.
New stores have come in.
Yes.
Five Below is at it. I mean, that is more of a happening plaza than I ever remember it as a kid.
Same.
In Station 12, where we heard, and again, I know there's the developers and there's the town, but there was so much buildup from the town mm-hmm. about the Station 12 and what it was going to mean. And then you drive by it, and I mean, Sheridan's one of the busiest roads, and it's an eyesore.
It is an eyesore. And I'm disappointed as you. The initial drawings for that property, they had kind of the rope lights, walkable, picnic tables, people kind of commingling around. And it just didn't come to fruition. And that's unfortunate. I think it's one of the byproducts of our pandemic. Good, bad, or indifferent, right? I can't do much to change what we went through in 2020. But I can say that permits are being applied for and they're being expedited for the fall.
Okay. And that would be to complete the dirt area and tear down the old tire shop.
I could say permits to go into some of the vacant parcels they have there.
Okay. So tenants would actually be
moving
in. Correct.
Correct.
Because Pottery Barn and Williams-Sonoma mm-hmm. were supposed to be original part of that.
They were.
And now they're not in Western New York.
Correct.
So we'll have to see what happens.
I'm hoping they come back.
Yeah, yeah. Now, another project that your opponent brought up that I'm just giving you the fair chance.
Sure.
Costco in Amherst. Mm-hmm. Now, we see the Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, mm-hmm. that's going to be up by next spring.
Yep.
Costco, there's been a few delays. Again, I know only so much is in the control of the town. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand on that Costco? And where do we stand on alleviating traffic issues when Costco's here?
Costco, spring of 26.
Okay.
So spring of 26. So you're absolutely right. Dick's is building up a lot faster. It's going up really quick. And everyone kind of asked me, my family included, Sean, where is Costco? They love Costco. Costco, if you think about it, is really just a giant barn. It's just a giant warehouse. So the construction is not the same requirements that Dick's has. So it's going to go up a lot faster. And really it comes down to the training of the employees and the housing of all the, you know, the retail goods. So Costco and Dick's are still slated for the spring of this year.
Okay.
Down to the delays, you have to remember, a lot of that went into demolition. A lot of that property was occupied by other buildings that had to come down to make way for those companies like Dick's and Costco. And that kind of added to some of the, because Costco's been 2.5-3 years in the making.
Right.
Right. So I acknowledge that. But at the same time, if you're going to do it, you got to do it right. And we're going to do everything we can to mitigate the traffic. They've lined up the driveways for the entrance of Dick's and where you come out of Trader Joe's right there. We've looked at extending North Bailey to make a turning lane and add smart traffic signals. I acknowledge that traffic is an issue, but we are doing everything we can at a town level to make that easier for people to shop.
Am I right in saying that that road between Planet Fitness and Catalyst is going to go straight into that parking lot? It looks like they've kind of paved out to where it would continue going.
There'll be an exit there, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Okay. And you said spring of 26.
Still the plan.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about something that I'm going to talk about in the next segment. But, you know, this is a campaign, right? I mean, you still have to do your job on the board, but run a campaign. You look at Brian Culpa, who's the current supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his time as Amherst. Obviously, you're going to get attacked for things Culpa did. Is there anything you would do differently during Brian Culpa's time as supervisor?
You know, I think Brian came in and he knew that Amherst needed some significant attention on some of the parcels that have just kind of lingered in the ether for years, right? And one of my prime examples is the parcel on the corner of Kenmore Ave and Niagara Falls Boulevard. I went to JJ's Cafe as a kid all the time, and it was a gas station, and then it became nothing but a trash kind of, maybe no benches, just trash and rocks. So, you know, Brian came in and said, look, this is part of our community. The neighbors are, you know, tired of picking up trash and the people that kind of hang out there and kids. Let's take that and make it a park. And that's what we did, right? We just had a little bit of green space, a bench. And I think that's kind of indicative of Brian. He kind of said to himself, we have to invest in ourselves. And he did. From my perspective, we need to get back to focusing on services, right? Roads being plowed timely, accurately, our senior center, Amherst youth camps. These are the things that we need to do, get back to basics at, right? Our big investment period's over with, I think, and we need to kind of start focusing on what makes this a great community.
You said services, and I hear this complaint from my parents, but more than just my parents. Sure. My parents live in Amherst. Garbage pickup service.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say that garbage pickup has gotten lazier, to where cans are in the middle of the road now.
Okay.
You see more trash falling, you know, coming out that's not going into the truck. Is that a complaint you're hearing? And is that something that Amherst could address?
We do address it, and it's complaints I do hear.
Okay.
So it's twofold. In the defense of Modern, who does our garbage pickup, if it's a windy day, those totes will make it half a mile down.
Of course, yeah.
So, but you're right. If we have trash, if they miss a street, if they miss a pickup, I get emails regularly. I'm in touch with Modern to say, hey, you missed a spot. We have a refuse employee who handles just the complaints that come in about Modern. He's incredibly good at his job, and he's always kind of pivoting to say, you missed a street, get back. Yard trimmings haven't been picked up promptly. So he's really good at that too. So we put a lot of resources into making sure that is taken care of.
Have you ever considered making it to where people can pick their trash pickup like they do in some places across this country?
At any given day?
Just no, any company, like bring a competitor in.
There's just not a lot of companies that do that.
Okay.
There's just not a market like you think there is. Like,
right.
If I wanted to go buy golf balls, I could, you know, there's 30 different opportunities. But when it comes to garbage, you have to get landfill permits. You have to have certain OSHA requirements and trainings. It's just a big process to build off the ground.
When I have to buy golf balls, I just go to the front desk and the ones they found and put for a dollar, that's the ones I take.
Oh, I can go cheaper than that, man. I lose them too quick to be of any use.
Yeah. Now, this Metro Rail story, I'm going to talk about this in the next segment. As I told you off the air, I am a public transportation guy. I grew up taking the subway. I took the subway when I was in college, but I've always lived close to a subway station until now. I mean, I live in Clarence Center now, but always close to the train. Now, the talk has been to expand this to UB North to connect all the campuses, the medical campus, the South Campus. The new plans have it going down the Boulevard, down Maple Road, down Sweet Home, into UB North, taking away driving lanes. Mm-hmm. In a town, let's be honest, we'd like to get in our car and be somewhere in less than 20 minutes.
Yep.
You look at these plans. I'm sure they've come across you guys at the town council, town board. What are your thoughts of the Metro Rail extension? First, do you like the idea of expanding it, and is it realistic?
I'll start with the second one first. Not realistic.
Okay.
I mean, if I know what it costs to build something like that, and I just don't see a world in which those monies come from the federal government to expand the Metro Rail. And so what I tell people is that if the funds exist, if there's a check that shows up on the doorstep and says, here's the money when we're ready, that's worth a conversation. But right now, I just don't see that happening. So to me, it's not something I'm engaged in.
All right. Anything else on the town that's coming up in the campaign that you want to bring up that I didn't ask you?
No, not really. I think residents are excited the way Amherst is going. I'm excited to reach out to them. I go door to door regularly to talk to about what issues they're facing and some of the things. And a lot of the residents, we really like living here. I love Amherst myself. It's a great community. So I've got a lot of that feedback. So I'm hoping we can keep that trajectory going.
Any planned debates with your opponent?
I know the League of Women's Voters has a debate at the Amherst Senior Center in the fall. We usually attend that with the League of Women's Voters. That's the only one I can think of.
I got to ask you this. You're a Democrat.
I am.
And you're the second Democrat to be on in the last 2 hours. We had Mitch Nowakowski was on with David at noon after James Gardner called in.
Okay.
But there are people like Sean Ryan, Mark Poloncarz, who refuse to come on. You know, I mean, Sean Ryan's in an election right now,
mm-hmm.
won't come on this station.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to Democrats like that? You are very open with your time. I mean, We could ask you. I'm sure you'll come back on tomorrow if we wanted. I mean, that's great. Why are there some people like Sean Ryan, like Mark Poloncarz, like I'm forgetting one, but I know it'll come to mind as soon as you walk out of the studio, that won't come on the station that, you know, might have to talk to someone who has a differing opinion?
I don't speak for anybody but myself.
I know. But like from the party point of view,
yeah,
isn't this the, you know, if there was a liberal leaning station, mm-hmm. I would imagine that Republicans would want to go on and get their message out there. Don't you think this would be where Democrats would want to come and get their message out?
I can only speak for Sean Lavin.
I know.
We have 130,000 residents in Amherst, and we have all sorts of ethnicities and genders and political affiliations. And come January, if I'm elected, I'm representing all of them.
Whether they
like me or not, they might hate me, but I'm going to wake up every morning and what can I do to make this community a great place? So I'm here because they're listening right now. And I hope they hear what I have to say because I think it's important because that's what I believe. So I can only speak for Sean. I'm happy to come on here. I'm happy to continue to come on here. And I'll leave it at that.
Well, I like that. And like I said, we might have some disagreements, but always appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you again. And, you know, if you guys want a second or third debate, Hardline's always open.
Okay. Well, congrats on the weekday show. I look forward to my next visit.
I appreciate it. That is Sean Lavin. He is the deputy supervisor running for supervisor against Dan Gagliardo. If you missed my interview with Dan, you can find that on demand at WBEN.com, the Odyssey app from Friday's show. But I'm sure they'll both be back on. I would say this is the second largest election going on other than the city of Buffalo.
I would agree.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot of spotlight on that. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. I see a few have lined up. 803-0930, star 930.
Summer's here. The days are long, the weather's perfect, and your time should be filled with fun, not vehicle maintenance. Thankfully, with complimentary Ford Mobile service, you don't have to take time out of your day to take care of your vehicle. That's right, from oil changes with the Works Package to brakes, batteries, tire rotations, and more. Ford technicians can come perform expert service right in your driveway. So go ahead and stay poolside and let Ford Mobile service come to you. That's ownership built around you. Contact your participating dealer or visit FordService.com for important details and limitations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly, you know what, why it's outside not, of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.